I would like to welcome you all for this simple self-empathy tools to help you enjoy the holidays with certified trainer Mary McKenzie.
So tonight, we're going to talk about simple self-empathy tools to help you enjoy your holidays. I hear a lot of people who say to me that before the holidays, they start to worry because they want to enjoy the holidays, they want to enjoy their family, and they find themselves reverting back to old behaviors, becoming way younger than they are currently. And they want to be able to have a way of hanging on to the person that they like the most about themselves when they're with family, and to have an experience with family that's connecting. I also hear from several people who don't have family to spend time with, and so they have an immense amount of loneliness. So self-empathy is one of those really wonderful tools that helps all of us stay more connected to ourselves, to create more clarity about what we want, and to help us come up with better strategies to help us meet those needs. So why self-empathy? Self-empathy to me is the one process in nonviolent communication that I use absolutely the most, without question, because I spend more time with myself than I do with other people. And so for me, self-empathy is, it's an ongoing practice. It's a way of being in the world. It's a very fluid process, and there are lots of different methods for being in self-empathy, lots and lots of them. So tonight, we're going to focus on a few of them that I think are the easiest to employ, the easiest to deal with in the middle of a conversation, as well as when I take myself apart from people to maybe connect more deeply. So when I engage in self-empathy, it creates a quality of presence or connection with myself that's important to me so that I can be clear what it is that I want rather than reacting to things that I don't want. It helps me get clarity about what I want, what's important to me. It helps me live in choice about what I say or what I do. And then when I live in choice about that, I have much better opportunity to make a decision, take an action that's in alignment with my needs. And it helps me to be authentic with myself and then creates much greater likelihood that I'll be able to be authentic with other people. And finally, it helps me take responsibility for my actions and for my needs that I'm trying to meet. I'll give you an example of how this is true for me. One of my triggers is if I think that I'm not being heard or understood, not understood so much, it's mostly about being heard, it's likely that I might get triggered by that. And I might think that the other person isn't listening to me. And if I'm thinking that, I might take an action like one of my old habits was to talk louder and get into the person's face, which of course made everybody back out and made it them utterly unwilling to want to listen to me. So that's what I would call about reacting to what I don't like. If I think I'm not being heard, and I give myself a moment of empathy, I can remember that what I really want is to be heard. And when I remember that, the chances are very good that I'm not going to talk louder and get into someone's face. Because I know that that will never, ever help support my need for being heard. Not ever, not even one time. So self-empathy helps us, first of all, clarify what we want and then choose an action that's more in alignment with helping us get that need met. And what it is truly about connecting with my feelings and needs. Many of us on the call, not everybody, but many of us on the call have learned how to give other people empathy. Self-empathy is doing that same thing for ourselves. And the technique's a little bit different. But the method of connecting with ourselves, the purpose of it is the same, to connect with our feelings and needs. So I'd like to start this first of all, with an exercise. I'd like you to take a moment and think about a situation that you're not happy with in your life. Maybe it's something that you feel sad about or hurt or disappointed. And I want you to write out one very succinct sentence that describes that situation. Like, he never listens to me. Or maybe she only thinks about herself. He's never on time. Or maybe it's she spends too much money. So what I'd like you to do is take a moment and write out a sentence, one very clear sentence that describes a situation you're not happy with in your life. It could be something you're disappointed with or hurt about or sad over. And it should involve another person. So for instance, if you have a partner who's never on time, your line might be, she's never on time or he's never on time. Or if you have a partner who you think is selfish, you might think she only thinks about herself or he only thinks about himself. So go ahead and take a moment and write out your sentence. And I'll tell you what to do with it in a moment. I'll give you about a minute. So now what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to let that sentence run through your head over and over and over like you're ruminating on it. And notice at the same time that you do that, notice what happens to you physically when you do that. So I'll just say the direction again. So close your eyes and let your sentence run through your head over and over and over like you're ruminating on it. And notice what happens to you physically when you do that. Okay, then go ahead and get started. Okay, what did you notice? What did you notice about yourself physically when you did that? Marianne, go ahead.
I noticed I started getting physically agitated.
Uh-huh. Did you notice where? Like where in your body did you get physically agitated?
In the sort of the solar plexus area.
Yeah, thank you. Judy, what did you notice?
I noticed that my jaw clenched and, in general, my body seemed to contract.
Yes. Thank you. Anybody else notice anything? Lorna, go ahead.
I noticed that I felt tired and my shoulders drooped.
Yes. Did the shoulders droop forward?
Yeah, down and forward.
Yes. Lots of times people do that. Actually, everything that you all have said, I'm really happy for the feedback. Oftentimes people they'll kind of hunch over, like their body will go round. It's like a protection thing. Lots of times our jaws will get tighter or our stomach will tighten up. Sometimes our heart rate will beat faster and our breath will get short and choppy. Our fists might clench. We might get, you know, butterflies inside. All of these things are very common. I hear it every time I do this exercise. So now what I'd like you to do is to translate your sentence into a new sentence. And first of all, what I'd like you to do is write this down. I love it when I get. I love it when I get. And then after that, I want you to put in a need. So for instance, if your first sentence was, she's never on time, your translated sentence might be something like, I love it when I get predictability, or I love it when I get respect. Or another example, if your first statement was, he only thinks about himself, your translated sentence might be, I love it when I know I matter. If you would please just take a moment and translate your sentence, I love it when I get, and then include a need after that. And I'll tell you what to do with that when you're done. Okay, now what I'd like you to do is close your eyes and let your new sentence run through your head over and over and over like you're ruminating on it. And notice what happens to you physically this time when you do that. Close your eyes and let your new sentence run through your head over and over and over like you're ruminating on it. And notice what happens to you physically when you do that. And I'll tell you when to stop. What did you notice about your physical self that time when you let that sentence run through your head? Jamie, go ahead.
It felt like my chest was opening, like I could actually breathe.
Yes, yes, thank you. Catherine?
I felt expansive. I felt fed. I felt like a little fish rising to the top of a fishbowl.
Great. I love that. Thank you. Shana?
I felt expansion and lightness.
Thank you. Tina?
At first, there was a contraction in the stomach and a sadness and a wanting to cry. After that, it's more like a relaxation.
Thank you, Tina. Noni and gang?
Breath is longer and deeper.
Yes. In fact, for me, when I do this, I automatically take a deep breath. I don't think about it. I don't try to do it. I just take a long, deep breath. It's literally like life coming back into my system. Thank you. All right. So here's why I think that's true. I think that's true because when we focus on what we don't like, we actually become outside of ourselves. It's all about a thing that's disconnected from us. It's about the other guy. And our focus is totally on what we don't want. Like my example, if I thought I wasn't being heard, I would talk louder and move in closer because what I'm thinking is that person's not hearing me. The minute that we connect to our own needs, it's literally like life coming back into our system. Because it literally is that, because we've just come home to ourselves and we've clarified what we want. And even though nothing different has happened outside of us, we feel expanded. We take a deep breath. We feel more grounded. We feel spacious just because we're back in our bodies again. We're back in our skin and we know what we want. And so the chances are better that if we take a moment and do I love it when, and clarify what we want, whatever our next thing is that we do or say, the chances are better that we'll have more success with it. So imagine if something happened and you felt triggered, maybe something with family this holiday, and you felt triggered. If you were to open up your mouth and say something when your jaw is clenched and your breath is short and choppy and your stomach is tight and you're hunched over. If you were to say something when you had all of that going on, the chances are good when you opened your mouth, you would be reacting to something you didn't like and you would have less of a chance of the other person wanting to hear what you had to say. So the first simple self-empathy tool that I want you to go home with is I love it when I get. How I use this is, say I'm having a conversation with someone and I get triggered. I just go inside my head and I think, man, I love it when I get support. Or, oh, I just love it when I get respect. And sometimes I even do it with kind of gritted teeth. You know, oh, man, I love it when I get respect. It's not that I'm trying to make it look good or be pretty, but I'm trying to connect with what my need is. It takes a couple of seconds only. And if you have a hard time connecting to needs, which some people do, ask yourself, what do I want? What do I want? Because most of us can come up with a need if we ask that question. So this is the simplest, the easiest, and the quickest self-empathy method that I know, and it works really, really well, I think, in all situations. So I'm going to pause there and see if anybody has any questions or comments. I've been talking a lot, so I would love to hear from you. I'd love to hear from about 3 people. If you have any questions or comments. Go ahead, Joanne.
The one thing that I noticed, even with the very first
thing that we ruminated on was that you actually told us to go into our head, but I noticed that I had actually went into my heart, and I noticed a significant difference when I went up to my head. I'm just asking that question because there's been some things I've been learning, like heart math, that has you like go down into your heart, and I'm just curious about, it seems like it really works going into your head, but I'm just, I guess, asking the question whether it matters where you go in your body, or if you have any insight into that.
So are we specifically talking about the I love it when part, not the first part where you ruminated on what you didn't like?
I noticed it on the first part that I had actually shifted, even though you told us to go to our head, I had actually gone to my heart.
Yeah.
I had a very different reaction than when I said, oh, yeah, she said go to your head, so I went to my head.
Yeah. Well, the reason why I do that in the first part is because I really sort of want you to get into the part that you don't like.
Got it.
The reason I did it in the second part, where you did I love it when I get support, is because usually when we're triggered, it's easier for us to access our brain than our emotions at that point. I mean, it's oftentimes harder for us to access our heart when we're triggered. So for me, sometimes I start with my head and it brings me down into my heart. So for instance, if I'm thinking that the other person isn't hearing me and I recognize that I have a need for being heard, instantly that takes me into my heart. Does that make sense?
Yes, thank you.
Good. Thank you, Joanne. Anybody else have anything, comment or question that you'd like? Catherine, go ahead.
She led me right into it. I love it when I connect with people. And my earlier sentence was, we rarely connect. And what I noticed earlier, or what I realized earlier, was that when I said whatever it was I said about I felt fed like a fish jumping to the top of the bowl, you responded. But was I watching you? No. I could have, had I been paying attention, I could have actually seen you respond to what I said, which is what I long for in life in general, with anyone.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So I'm staring at you now, and I'm just soaking it in and confessing the fact that I miss that opportunity, and I suspect that I often miss those opportunities when they're right in front of me. Thanks for that.
You're welcome. That's sweet. Sweet to hear. And
sweet
lovely
to
timing, too, if you're going to be spending any time with your family. So the first method is I love it when I get. That's the easiest, the quickest, the one I use the most often, actually. This is the one that's kind of very much part of my daily practice. So the next one I want to look at is, I call it dipping into the needs. It's actually an NLP method that has been adapted for NVC. And I think I first saw this done with Jim and Jory Mansky some many years ago, and I love this method. So with this method, it uses very few words, and it's a thing that you just do quickly. You don't really ponder it much. You want to do what's first up for you. You start out with an initial need, and then you ask yourself this question. If I got that need met, what need would that meet? If I got that need met, what need would that meet? Let's see, I'd like to demonstrate that. I think I'll use the situation tonight with the technology. So, as I said earlier on, it's really exciting for me to try out new technology, and it's also, frankly, quite nerve-wracking because I know my end of it, but the hard part is getting other people's technology to work fluidly with the system that I'm trying out. So before the call, I was quite nervous. So I would say my need, first of all, is contribution. And so then I would ask myself this question, if I got my need for contribution met, what need would that meet? And I need to be able to relax into this, otherwise I'll be totally in my head. So if I got my need for contribution met, what need would that meet? Support. And if I got my need for support met, what need would that meet? Meaning. And if I got meaning, fun. And if I got fun, ease. And if I got ease, I want to say there is so much possible. There's so much possible. And if there is so much possible, what need would that meet? Connection and joy. And if I got connection and joy, I want to say connection, but I want to do it like a physical thing, like really connecting the dots across the world. Yeah, and peace and hope and, yeah, joy. So that's the process. So you start out with a need, and then you go under that need and underneath and underneath. But you're using very few words, and you're not thinking very much at all. You're saying the first thing that comes to your mind or that comes through you would be more of a heart thing, was brought up earlier. And sometimes the word doesn't really connect all that well, but I say it anyways because I know there is a connection, and eventually it will make sense to me, even if initially it doesn't make total sense to me. I want to just see if there's anybody who would be willing to have me walk you through this process in front of the whole group, just to give a demonstration of it. Gabi, thank you for volunteering.
Hello.
Hi there. So yeah. I would ask that you pick a situation that's not your greatest, biggest pain in the world, because you're only going to have a few minutes to deal with it, but something that's real for you but not a major part of your life. And if you want to, you can give us one sentence about what the situation is, or you can just tell us what the first need is that comes to mind, whatever you prefer.
Well, I thought of the situation. Sometimes I let my room get messy, my apartment, for a really long time, and I get very frustrated, but I'm not cleaning it. Right now it's very clean, but this just happens to me a lot.
So what is the need you're trying to meet?
Maybe like effectiveness or conscientiousness.
Okay. So then you would ask yourself this question. If I got effectiveness and conscientiousness, what need would that meet for me?
Like competence.
Okay. And so then you would ask yourself that next question again. So if I got competence, what need would that meet?
I'm actually thinking like self-acceptance or self-respect.
Mm-hmm. And if you got that?
Ease.
Mm-hmm. And if you got ease?
Maybe both, like peace and fun.
Mm. And if you got peace and fun?
You know, the first word that came to mind was connection, just like with the world or something.
Mm-hmm. Something deeper than between people, but just connecting in general?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And if you got connection, what need would that mean?
Peace and understanding. Sorry, I already said peace.
That's okay. It might come up several times, actually. It's okay to say it more than once.
Okay.
So peace and understanding. And if you got that, what need would that mean?
Yes, acceptance.
And if you got that?
Ease.
Mm-hmm. And if you got ease?
Just no stress.
Mm-hmm. So is that back to peace? No stress, is that peace?
I guess so.
Okay.
I keep thinking it's over, but you keep going.
Okay. Have you noticed a shift in you? Any kind of subtle shift?
Yeah. It just feels like I'm connected to nicer energies. Because sometimes when I want to clean, I just go, why haven't you done it yet? And in this case, I'm connected to all these bigger energies that are about a lot more than just the room. Peace and ease and communion and all that happy stuff.
Yeah. That's exactly what this does, this exercise. It helps us connect to the needs underlying whatever the situation is before us. And it's a pretty simple process, actually. It's very simple. Just keep asking yourself, if I got that need met, what need would that meet for me? And I stay in it until I get some kind of subtle shift. Thank you, Gabi, for bringing your situation forward. So was there anybody who has a question or a comment about the process? And then when we've answered the questions, then you'll go off and try it on your own for a few minutes. But first of all, I want to see if anybody has a question or a comment. Noni, did you guys have a question?
Yes. And what I said, I have a need for self-respect. It seems to me that the need...
So the need was self-respect, and then what else?
But I can't think of anything under it. I mean, that seems like that would be exactly what I wanted.
Okay. So if you got self-respect, you're looking for the need underneath self-respect. So if I got self-respect, maybe it would meet my need for care or nurturing or mattering. Does any of that fit for you?
Yeah, I suppose it would be the same thing, sort of.
Kind of, okay. So which of those fit most for you?
Mattering, I suppose.
Mattering, okay. So then you'd ask yourself the next question. So if my need for mattering was met, what need would that meet for me?
That's hard to say. I would respect myself, but that's what I started out with, is what I wanted. That seems like a circle to me.
Okay. Well, it might be. You might be at the core need with self-respect. But sometimes we would be fooled, and we're not. Sometimes a core need might be something like to know that I belong.
Oh, okay.
Or to know I have a place at the table. To know that there's meaning or purpose.
Okay, it's actually, in this case, I think it would be to know that I belong.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Anybody else have a comment or question? Jamie, go ahead.
I was so focused on my family and what their reactions were going to be, and this helps me to refocus and look at myself and what I'm needing, which was a big turn.
Exactly. And the other thing it helps us do, Jamie, is, so if we're focused on our family, say we have an idea that our family's not connecting. So if we're focused on an idea that they're not connecting, well, they're really not going to want to connect with us. And secondly, we have just lost our responsibility in it. So if I want connection, then connect. Then I need to connect if that's what I want, not to sit back and wish other people would do it for me. Same with peace. If I want to have peace in my holiday, then I need to be peace. I need to be that. And it doesn't mean that other people won't have arguments and all kinds of stuff won't happen. All those things out there might happen, but I want to be peace in whatever comes up. If I can, just at least do my very best at it, at least. Thank you, Jamie, for your comment. Okay, I'd like you to pick a situation that you can try this new method out with. Pick something that's real for you, but not, again, your greatest pain, because you're only going to have about 5 or 7 minutes to go through it. So what I'd like you to do is think of a situation you can work with, and I want you to start off by coming up with a need, the first need that comes to your mind, and then ask yourself this question: if I got that need met, what need would that meet for me? And you just keep going underneath and underneath. If I got that need met, what need would that meet for me? If I got that need met, what need would that meet for me? And you can stop at a point when you have some shift in you. It might be really subtle, but some subtle shift. And that shift happens because you're more connected to a particular need that's associated with the situation. And I'm going to give you 7 minutes. So I'll give the direction again. I want you to come up with a situation, a simple situation in your life that you're not happy with or you feel some disappointment, and I want you to try this exercise that we just did where you come up with the first need and then you ask yourself this question: if that need were met, what need would that meet for me, and what need would that meet for me? And you keep going underneath it until you have some subtle shift in you. Go ahead and get started. Okay, so I'm curious how that worked for you. I'd love to hear from 2 or 3 people about how the process worked for you. Mary Ann, what was your experience like?
I thought it was pretty amazing. I think because I started out with the troubles I have with setting boundaries with people, and I kind of visualized that as pushing people away.
Mm-hmm.
And as I started going through those needs, dipping into those needs, I ended up coming back to community, getting exactly what I want without having to push.
Yes.
And the physical sensation when I realized I'd shifted was that big sigh. I'm starting to recognize that
yeah.
big sigh of relaxation and oxygen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, literally life coming back into your system. Yeah, thanks for your feedback, Marianne. I'm glad it worked for you. Shana.
Yeah, I found it a little challenging to do it on my own without having back and forth. Because I found that I would go to my head more.
Okay, so it was hard for you to stay in it, you mean? To stay present to it?
I guess so, yeah. I found my intellectual self taking over.
Yeah. And did you manage to stay with the intellectual self, or once you found yourself there, did you pull out of the process?
I stayed. But I suspect that the process probably ended sooner than it would have if I was led.
Okay, got it. One of the things that helps me sometimes, like even when I started to do my demonstration, I could hear it in my voice and I could feel it in my body that I was totally in my head. And so I literally sat deeper into my chair and I took a deep breath. That's one of the things that helps me. It's almost like, you know, I'm not relaxed. So that's one thing that helps me. The other thing is sometimes I might just look at a needs list to see if I can see a need that will help me dip in a little bit farther. So I don't know if that's helpful. What some people like to do is they like to write a list. And if you do that, what I would suggest you do is have the list go from top to bottom, like just a list of one or two words per line, so that you actually get the visual image of yourself going deeper and deeper into your needs. Is any of that helpful?
Maybe.
Okay. Yeah, thanks.
Thank you.
Yep, thank you. Is there anybody who struggled with the process a little bit and maybe has a question or wants a tip or two about how to deal with whatever came up for you? Anybody else have anything you want to add about this process, a question you might have? Okay, so not seeing hands. So let me tell you, so the first situation, the I love it when, is a process I use many times throughout the day. It's just quick and easy. I can do it on the fly. This one that I just taught you is one that I use when I have a little bit more time. I find for me this one is very comforting. So this is the process I use when I'm especially rattled or upset about something, and I don't want to use a bunch of words. I really want to just dip in rather quickly into my needs. And I find that even in 5 or 7 minutes, I can get down pretty deep, nearly and almost always actually to a core need. But at any rate, even if I don't get to the core need, I can get enough relief that I can be more present in the situation. So this is one I'd recommend. So you're having, maybe you're with family or maybe you're alone and you're upset about something or triggered. Rather than react to it, you could take yourself aside. Go into the restroom, take a walk, and give yourself a few minutes, 5 or 7 minutes. Get a little bit more clarity, get a little bit more connected with yourself, and then come back into the group, into your family gathering or gathering with friends or whatever you're doing. And again, the point is, so that we can be more empowered to create the kind of experience that we want to have with people. Okay, so the last one I want to teach you is so easy. I discovered this by accident one day because I was asked to give a presentation to a group of therapists, and I had 1 hour to do it, and they wanted me to teach them self-empathy, and they had no experience with NVC beforehand. And I thought, oh my God, how can I possibly teach them self-empathy when they don't even know what a need is and I only have an hour? So this method I developed as a result of that, and I am just so amazed at how simple it is and easy it is to do. So what I'd like you to do is again come up with a situation you want to work with, And I want you to look at either the needs list on the screen, or there's one in your classroom, or you might have your own needs list. And I want you to very slowly read each of the words. And when you notice a subtle shift inside of you, I want you to just ponder that for a moment. So the direction is, think of a situation you have some disappointment or sadness about. Read each word on the needs list one at a time until you reach a word where you have some subtle shift in you. And when you do, I want you just to ponder that for a moment longer, and other words might come up for you. And I'm going to give you about 5 minutes to do this. Okay, so go ahead and get started. I'll set the timer for 5 minutes, and I'll let you know when your time's up. Okay, so I'm curious, I'd love to hear from two or three people about how this process was for you. Julie.
That was very interesting, and I actually combined two processes together. So when I connected into mine with closeness, it resonated deeply for me immediately, and then I sat with it for a while, but then I asked, what would I get if I had closeness? So I kind of your other process, and I got down to some really fun, good stuff. It went from closeness to consideration to intimacy to love to really being known. It just kind of led me down to, I think, a core need.
Oh, I'm glad to hear it. Yeah, that's how it works for me, too. Thanks for sharing. Anybody else? Joanne, go ahead.
So I noticed that there was so much more to this situation than I had realized. It was a concern I had about my mother-in-law's health, and there was just so many like different aspects or facets that I hadn't even realized were part of it, that reading that list really made it fuller and wholer and more nuanced to me.
Yes, exactly. That's the other thing that's really sweet about self-empathy. Most of us spend our days at the top layer of life, and we spend very little time actually getting underneath it. Lots of times we're triggered over things that seem trivial to us, but they aren't. There's something very deep underneath it. And if we'll take the time to connect to it, then we have a chance to heal it so that maybe the next time we don't get as triggered. So thank you. Thank you for sharing. Okay. Let me just say a few words about self-empathy. I think that for me, as I said before, it's the process of all the NVC processes that I use, it's the one I use the most. It's almost like breathing to me. It's just such a natural part of my life. And it helps me stay more present, be clearer, to be in greater choice about how I'm going to show up and what I'm going to say and how I'm going to say it. It helps me connect more deeply with other people. It helps me feel more peace and relief. And what I love about it is I have access to this process 24 hours a day if I need it, and I don't need anybody else in order to access it. So I don't mean it as something to replace empathy from other people, only that it's a valuable tool that's in addition to that. And sometimes when we spend time with family, we don't have other people who would give us empathy or have the skill to give us empathy. So I hope that you can take this into your holidays, whatever that means for you, and it will help you create more richness, more enjoyment, maybe a bit more peace, and if nothing else, helps you clarify what you want and to be that as best as you can. Whatever your holidays have in store for you, I hope that you will enjoy them very much. And I hope that you'll remember giving yourself empathy when you're with family and friends.